I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, guys? Happy May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. May it be with us all. Just playing with a little X-Wing here. I was supposed to be doing some laundry this weekend, but I always pass by this thing in my closet, and then I just do... Like, I just kind of do the whole thing. Also, a special little guy wants to say hello today. Mr. Gus Crookshanks. I wanted to introduce our main guest today. He's an awesome guy. He's an actor, creator of Channel Surfing Studios on YouTube. He created Comedy Crushes Cancer, which raises money for a variety of cancer organizations. As I said before, if you don't like a guy who raises money for cancer, you're a dick. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Lawden. Welcome, Paul. How are you?
Having buddy. Good to see you, Adam.
Great to see you too. I like the blue background you got there, cloud.
Yeah,
I like it.
What's cool is you. Maybe I mentioned before, but this is actually connected to you. This is the banner from the show we did together 4 years ago, Random Acts.
Holy yeah, that's when you could have like theaters with crowds and
exactly.
Like actual
humans used to watch shows, and so. I thought if I'm going to do this, I wanted to look cool and I wanted to be awesome since it was my first time. And I spray painted sky blue.
I love it. I love it.
That was too light. So I sprayed navy blue. It was too dark. And then I found another blue and I just had enough to blend them all together.
We got blues. It looks like a whole Smurf smorgasbord, Paul.
It does.
It looks fantastic. So I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Obviously, times are a little different. We're talking to you remotely. I find it interesting because we were talking just before the show. Obviously, in the last 2 months here, everyone's gotten used to the idea of quarantine. Everyone's gotten used to the idea of social distancing. But you already have some experience kind of dealing with this. And I especially wanted to have you on because you are a very positive person. I feel like you've had a lot of stuff thrown your way and you tend to do very good stuff with it. So if you want to just give a little highlight here, you've dealt with quarantining before in the past. I think you said you did a year and 9 months you had to self-quarantine.
Yeah, that's why I keep saying this quarantine for me is like a small vacation, because my quarantine after recovering from stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, it's a type of blood cancer, was 1 year and 9 months. And specific 1 year and 9 months is 1 year of 9 months in my studio apartment on Venice Beach, essentially not going out. Occasionally, once every week or 2 weeks, I was able to walk 200 feet from the doorsteps of my apartment, my studio, down to the beach and back.
And holy moly.
Nice. Yeah. And then, so that was the first 1 year and 9 months. And then the second 1 year and 9 months was attempting to get out, trying to acclimate to regular society, going out maybe once every 2 months, but think about this. At that time, when I was in my studio apartment for 1 year and 9 months, I didn't have a television.
Oh, man.
I had a computer, but I couldn't watch movies.
Oh, no.
Here's the other thing. I actually had a flip phone.
Oh, yeah. So you had to do the long texting thing where you'd have to press each button like 8 times just to get like the letter N.
Yes.
Well, that's crazy. So did you just read? The whole time, did you just make yourself a better person? Did you just sit and look at the wall? Like, did you drink? I don't know what you would do if, like, you didn't have... TV is a great time to just, like, watch a bunch of stuff. It's a great time waster a little bit, but it also makes you feel connected to people. But what do you do that whole time just to keep yourself sane, to keep yourself, like, positive? Like, because I'm sure you probably had to, like, you know, because everyone just... naturally now has just been having, you know, kind of meltdowns, burnouts a little bit. They're saying to beware of like Zoom fatigue, that your brain can shut down after a while. Just keep things going. So what advice do you have for people out there who might just be going, I have 2 months of this and I'm going nuts. I don't know what else to do. What do you say?
Imagination.
Oh,
that's all I had. I couldn't read because I felt nauseous.
Even
if I had a television or was able to watch anything online, which I wasn't able to, it was too difficult for me to concentrate because of the medication as well as the recovery from the chemotherapy. So I spent most of my time imagining.
Yeah.
You have old sketches that I had written and re-performing them in my mind and essentially editing and rewriting, and then thinking, how could I do new ones? Mm-hmm. I did have a notebook where I could put ideas in, but it was more about taking them, imagining them, running them through, and kind of rehearsing them and trimming them, so that it came to a point when I started doing sketch. In fact, the first thing I did when I recovered was do a full one-hour sketch show in Santa Monica, the West Side Eclectic. It used to be called something different, or maybe it's something different now.
Mm-hmm.
And I used a majority of those sketches that I created in my mind, which I had rewritten so many times that when I took them out, I never did a second draft for any of them.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. Done
dozens of drafts.
You were done.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
And no, I didn't drink that much. I waited until now. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good idea to mix, I don't know, 3 or 4 heavy chemicals that are already running through my body with alcohol at that time. So I saved the quarantine drinking for this one. Yeah.
As you should. Well, let's jump right in. We're going to start with Nikki Nelson is a wonderful Facebook friend of mine, and she has a blog called thesinglesociety.com. And so sometimes what I like to do is just get a little feet wet here, talk about a bad date. This was called The Breast Dad Ever. A few weeks into my stint on Match.com, I received a well-mannered message from Evan, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed financial journalist who resided on Long Island. Nice. After exchanging numbers, Evan suggested we get drinks at a charming speakeasy in Greenwich Village, an evening that would result in my worst date fail. Side note, I called it Greenwich Village until I was about 28. While on my way to said speakeasy, I received a text from Evan. Make sure to bring cash. This place is cash only. So I guess he's letting her know right away you're paying for yourself. Great. Good job, Evan. Perhaps this should have been the first red flag that, hey, I'm a strong, independent woman. I can buy my own drinks, right? When I showed up at 7 on the dot, Evan was at the bar awaiting my arrival. He was, thankfully, just as advertised in his profile pictures and dressed like a dapper young gentleman. All right, so good for him, because sometimes people show up, they're schlubby, they're 40 pounds overweight, things are different. They pick their best headshot from, 2011. Doesn't matter. All right, here we go. The conversation was relatively enjoyable, I suppose, and we started chatting about the dating app culture in general. My old friend. I said that given the array of colorful personalities in New York City, my dating experience has certainly been interesting. I've been using the apps on and off for about a year. I took a break because I got burnt out, but giving it another shot, I explained. I hear you. I joined only a week ago. I just got out of a serious relationship, and I'm trying to get back in the saddle, he replied. While I do appreciate the transparency, it is certainly not ideal to be dating someone who is clearly on the rebound, but I digress. Evan didn't stop there, though. He decided to unleash his pent-up aggression towards his ex-girlfriend as if I were his therapist. Sexy. Evan explained that in a last desperate attempt to salvage the failing relationship, he treated his ex to a breast augmentation, which cost him $7,000. Good for you, buddy. Reach for the breast. The worst part is we broke up before she was fully healed, so I didn't even get to enjoy them, he informed me. Classy. Classy guy. Just when I thought this evening couldn't get any more peculiar, Evan ever so casually mentioned that he has 2 children. Quite the curveball indeed. It was clear to me that this date was definitely over, but I tried to make conversation simply because we had already ordered pistachio-crusted goat cheese balls with a side of truffle fries. That sounds delicious. And I was fucking starving. I began asking questions about the children that I had no idea existed and if the boob job ex-girlfriend was his baby mama. Oh no, the kids are with my ex-wife, Evan explained. Oh, good to know. Full of surprises. After chatting about his kids, Evan mentioned how hard it was not being able to see them. Why, you might ask? Because Evan is significantly behind in his child support payments. Hence, bring your cash. So I have to ask, if you can't pay any child support, how are you able to afford a breast augmentation? Well, I borrowed that money from my parents, so that's different. Different? I have no idea what that fucking means. We split the check and went our separate ways. I never heard from Evan again, but I can assure you, I wasn't bothered. So a lot of things going on here, Paul. First off, they say don't have kids to save a failing marriage. I'd say don't have a boob job to save a failing relationship. But that's just me. Wow. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's hard because you have this, everything has a filter. Whether it's Instagram or Facebook, everything has a filter. And it's sort of permeated into people's behavior where they filter who they are even before you meet them. So Maybe there could be established a 3-phone conversation before meeting, a series of 10 questions where you get it all out so that you think, okay, what is your religion? What is your financial situation? All these details that just show who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it gives you a general idea,
mm-hmm.
right? Because maybe someone says, I'm not interested in being with someone who has kids, or I have 2 kids and I would love to be with someone who has 2 kids. And then you kind of filter out and use a filter in a more positive way. But I don't know. That's
but again,
tough.
Too, it's like you also want that live, you know, you want to know if the if there's any chemistry there. You want to know if there's any sexual tension. So you almost do want to meet up right away and just go, can we do this? Can I even sit down with you? Can I don't know. Because, yeah, I mean, dating now, especially now when, like, I'm sure all people are doing are Zoom dates and calling and FaceTimes, or there are a lot of people just going, I'm healthy. You're healthy, right? So we should be fine. I feel like you're rolling the dice. If I was single right now, I would be going, I think, insane, because I love being around people, but you're also then putting that up there with your health. That's a big risk now. It's a gamble. So it's like, what's worth that gamble?
I wonder what the numbers are or the significant changes are in the dating apps, if how they're actually managing, if people are not meeting as much or they're meeting. I'm curious.
What I read last month was that everyone's traffic was like 30 to 40% up, like Bumble, Tinder, OkCupid. Wow. Everyone's just shooting through because now everyone has way more time. But I feel like too, that's going to, it's like everything else. You're going to have more ghosting, you're gonna have more people just dropping what they're doing, not talking to you anymore. That just happened when you could see people, you know, and you were actually around them, and then you had to, if people didn't want to talk to you anymore or do anything, now I feel like that's just gonna be way more prevalent, where you're just gonna have people. I mean, what I used to do, I used to talk to, like, you know, 12 or 15 different women at once, and usually it would be, you know, like between 1 and 3 a.m. when I was drunk, either messaging on, you know, Facebook or just, like, you know, finding an old number that I'd scroll through, because I'd save every woman with, like, you know, Brittany, Tinder, or, you know, Lauren, Bumble. So I would just go through and find all the older, and I would just send out this giant net of, like, hey, what's up? At, like, you know, I'd send out like 30 of those and just see what I got back. It was classy. So anyway, we're getting some single society here, breast augmentation, do's or don'ts. Paul, you're a good guy. I consider you a good person. I consider you to have a good heart. But I have a feeling you're hiding some stuff. I have a feeling you got a little bit of what I have, where I have a really good facade, a nice personality going up that people go, oh, that guy's never done anything bad. But I have a feeling maybe you have some date stories that you'd like to share. This isn't a well-adjusted Hollywood single. It's horribly Hollywood single. Yes. So please, Paul, take it away.
Well, first of all, I've seen your live show, so I know a lot of your dark secrets. So
yes, you have. You're very kind. You're one of the few people, I will tell you, if I have messaged, or if I said I'm doing stand-up, or if I say I'm doing this, you're one of the few people who messages back and says, yep, I'll come here, I'll do this. You don't flake, you don't just randomly disappear. I consider you, you're like 10% in LA, who, if I say, hey, I need support for this, you're one of the few people who is always there, like 10 out of 10. So whatever you're about to say,
I appreciate that, because I do a lot of fun shows and events. And when 250 people say, yeah, I'm going to check it out, and then 75 people come, it can be disappointing. Yeah. So I do my best to be my word. And if I say, yeah, I'm going to go, I just go. I just find a way, unless there's a circumstance that makes it impossible. Then I just write, hey, unfortunately, I'm not going to make it. But at least it takes such a small amount of time to do this, you know, to say, hey, I'm not going to make it. Plus, let's be honest, your stuff is good. I enjoy it. You're a good dude as well. And
you're kind, Paul. You're kind.
So
you're making my May the 4th.
Yes, May the 4th be with you. So, yeah, I have a few stories. The one that immediately pops into my head is because you did mention dating apps like Tinder and this and that. And I did do Tinder for 24 hours.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, it was on Friday at noon. Somebody had to set it up for me. Keep in mind, I was the guy who had the flip phone, so somebody set it up for me, showed me how to be, you know, coy by not sharing too much, and also never smiling, looking in the photo. Everything has to be like one of those. I don't even know I'm here while you're taking this photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Slightly. I'm holding a puppy while I'm, you know, helping out at a homeless shelter downtown. Don't even know that the camera's on me. That type
yes.
of
thing. Oh, yeah. How did I step into this poppy field?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Oh, yeah, that's good.
So yeah, I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. It was a noon on a Friday. I had the day off. And I sent out 3 or 4, and it was immediate. And, of course, nice. That's not exactly how it works. My experience is kind of the opposite of how people start out. Very interesting person, Kelly, and interesting that you said in your phone, because I just put T. It would be like Kelly T.
Oh, got it. Yes, I would have saved her as Kelly Tinder.
Katarina
yes.
T, you know, and that was the only one I saved. So we chatted. It was a Friday. And she suggested, hey, why don't we just meet today? Okay, so I popped over to Echo Park for a happy hour.
There we go.
And I got there. She had taken Uber. Mm-hmm. Start chatting. The drinks came. And there was an interesting kind of a flip of the switch.
Ooh.
Right after one drink.
Oh, yeah.
Came this. So, where do you see yourself in, like, you know, like, with your heart and your passion for life and love? I mean, how do you treat a woman who is a goddess? And,
oh, yeah. And, she's doing like the drunk guidance counselor mixed with how are you going to worship me?
Yes. And for me,
oh, fantastic.
I didn't know what to do because it was my first time. And also keep in mind that.
What are you going to buy me, Paul? What are you going to tell me I'm worth? You tell me right now.
Keep in mind, this was everything. Shortly after my quarantine of 1 year, 9 months, and then another. So I had kind of been out of society for almost 5 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it took a while to get back to regular life. And I didn't work for, I think, about four years. So I didn't have a lot of social interaction skills or experiences at that time. And I was just coming back. I finally had an actual cell phone. And it was just odd and interesting to be out amongst people, you know? And so this totally. Is my first experience.
Whoa.
And so the last drink, that the end of the drink comes, you know, I finished that first drink and I politely use my non-social app skills, because I don't know how you're supposed to end these things if it's not working. Are you just up front and say, yeah, we're not a match. Hey, let's call it a day. So I said, hey, it was really wonderful spending time with you. I had an interesting evening. You're really fun to chat with. You know, let's just call it a night. And as I was saying that, she did one of these.
With
and
the bill?
The guy brought 2 more drinks.
Oh, she's not done.
No.
She's ready to go.
She was ready to go.
And I gotta say, though, I'm surprised, because if you've spent almost 5 years, you know, in captivity, you haven't been back in the wild, I would be getting wasted and just go, I'm getting laid no matter what. Like tonight, I don't care how bad it is. Just short of if she shows up with a swastika on her arm, and then I got to back it up, because those are things I'll never be able to explain one day to my grandmother in heaven. But no, I would just be like, I'm getting laid. I don't care. But she can be as crazy as she wants to be. I don't give a shit if I'm 2 seats to the wind. I'll figure it out tonight. So no, but you're controlled.
Yeah, maybe that would have been phase 2. I was starting in phase 1 of just, how do I have social conversations again?
Just talk to people, yes.
Or how do I just chat with women? And also, people's behavior had changed in a 5-year period, because there's so much going on with computers and phones. And so a lot of people tend to be a little bit all over the place, a little more erratic.
Yeah.
So I had been in a place, was almost like a Zen meditation. So here I am at a bar and I'm having a conversation with someone, and someone taking their phone and going, you know, this kind of thing. And I at first I thought, oh my gosh, is there a fire in the back? Because, you know, or are you expecting a message from the home care that where your parents are? You know, it was an odd thing. So maybe I was in phase 1, just figuring out. Phase 2,
yeah,
horny level, code level yellow, code level red, I don't know.
Yeah, that might be a green.
The second drink, She finished hers very quickly. I still had half of mine. And I went to the restroom, came back, and that half was gone. So
she drank.
Yeah, she drank yours, it while I was in the bathroom.
She drank yours?
Yes.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Please tell me she was like a kindergarten teacher or something working with little kids. That would make sense.
This is what I remember, was she helped people organize their closets.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if that was a euphemism for something to do with the LGBTQ community. I don't know.
I don't know what that is. But you know what? But they say that it's the shoemaker's kids who always go barefoot. You know what I mean? So she might be good at really organizing stuff, but when it comes to her own stuff,
yeah,
she doesn't know.
So, she would look in people's closets and shelves and find out how they can organize it and put it together to get their lives in order.
I do that for free on the weekends, but I just annoy my fiance and she says, please don't touch that stuff. That's my stuff. And I have to go, oh, right.
That's how I ordered it. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so this, I came back from the bathroom. My half of the drink was gone. And she said, I'm going to use the bathroom real quick. Go ahead and get that check and then we'll leave.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what we'll leave means, because she can't.
That means you might go back to her place. That's what that means.
I don't know. So, and honestly, she said.
So innocent, Paul. You're so innocent and good. You're so sweet.
She said, I took an Uber and I'm a little bit, maybe in this situation, naive. I said, who is that? I thought it was our German cousin visiting for the weekend or something. Yeah, I'm here to give you a ride.
Cousin Uber goes to MIT, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for hot dates.
That's great. She wanted you to take her back home. She wanted, or maybe go by your place first, you know?
I don't know. So the bill comes to me, I pay it. And you know, in my world, if you sit with someone and you're getting to know them, it's a date. You pay for the first beer or drink, whatever it is. And if that person is interested in continuing the evening, they would generally suggest, why don't I get the next drink? Meaning, I like you. Let's continue. And that's my experience. And that's how I've functioned.
Sure.
It's not a matter of who's paying, but about who's initiating, is this continuing?
Yes. So, very good, yeah.
So I pay the bill. She comes out, doesn't sit down and says, okay, let's go. And I go outside and I said, well, I'm parked over there. And she said, can you drop me off at home? I'm a mile away. And in my brain, I'm thinking, I'm going to drop her off, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's what she says, drop her off. Maybe I'm too literal. So we're driving and she's sitting like this the entire time.
Not saying anything.
No conversation, no nothing. And I'm asking, so when you organize the closets, do you look at the clothing first or the boxes or, you know, oh my God, I was asking.
Paul, you're such a good guy. You're such a good guy, Paul.
Every open-ended question. So, you know, if there are boxes in there, do you combine them or do you,
Yeah. And
so she says, oh, it's at the top of this hill. It was right around the corner from Echo Park, Franklin or something. I forget what that area is called. And as I'm pulling up to where she lives, you know, she's, oh, it's right up there. As I'm, the wheels are still rolling and I reach down to pull the brake. I've almost stopped. She undoes her seatbelt and pops out of the car before it stops.
Oh, yeah.
And for a moment, I really thought, is she going to tuck and roll?
Oh, yeah. That's it. So she asks for a ride home, doesn't want to talk to you, then just somersaults out of there.
Yes.
She's got a couple drinks in her, including your finished pint.
Yes. So,
oh, man. Kelly.
She sprints to the door, which is funny to see someone sprint in high heels. I mean, it just never looks right. Yeah. Yep. Upstairs, sprints, doesn't turn around and give a polite gesture of waving or thank you or anything. So
she was done.
She was done. And then, so I just said, oh, first adventure. That was wild. You know, I go home, go to sleep. I crash. I wake up and I check on my new iPhone because I'm hip and cool. I have an iPhone at that time, right? A new one. I finally got one. And there was a message from her. Now, it wasn't a voicemail, because now you can actually record a message. Hit
text
send.
Memo? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a maximum 3 minutes. At 3 minutes, Whoa. It cuts you off. So I look at my phone, and I have seven of them.
Whoa. Full 3 minute ones?
Yeah, full 3 minute ones.
So you have 21 minutes of text to talk.
Yeah. So I start listening and I'm going through it. And of the 21 minutes, I only remember a small portion. And I'll finish with this. What she said was, if I can't love a man like you, I can never love anyone.
Oh.
Leave Tinder. They don't deserve you. That was it. That was my, and that was around 11 o'clock in the morning. And then at 12 o'clock is when I deleted it. So I had that full 24 hours. So that's my.
Leave Tinder. They don't deserve you.
They don't deserve you. So.
Wow.
To her. Yeah.
Dude. I got to give you credit. Do you have a maximum or minimum when you were dating what you'd spend on a date?
No.
What you felt comfortable with? No.
Not at all. Not at all. I do feel like it's a get to know you phase, which means dinner can be difficult because there's lots going on at dinner and ordering. And I don't know. I feel like a drink or even a coffee. Yeah. What I noticed at that time is there were lots of movies about the Craigslist killer and boyfriends coming and stalking and stealing their identities. So I stopped asking or requesting to meet for a drink. I said, hey, let's grab a coffee during the day.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's what I started doing during that time. And I found it to work a little bit better. And people's guards were a little lower because it's a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And you also get a coffee that's near a park.
Then you can walk around.
You can walk around. It's a different environment when you're there. So for me, it's not about money. It's more about the investment of the communication of where you're at. And then maybe the second one you meet for a drink. And then after that, you can do a happy hour. And then it goes from there.
Well, you're very nice. For me, it was a lot of times about the money, Paul. And I put that up up front. I said, if you expect me to pay more than $50, we're going to have to talk. Whoever you think you are. But yeah, it's about the kids. So, all right. So that's a great story. Was there another story or relationship that you wanted to talk about?
Well, there was one which is totally and completely different. And this, you know how you mentioned earlier Shakespeare being in quarantine inspired several plays, right?
Well, just hearing about that, yeah.
Yeah, one of my more popular sketches, which is not on YouTube because of music copyrights, but as far as when I show it at screenings, it's one of the more popular. This one dating situation created that. And this was during a time when people in the LGBTQ were being allowed to have same-sex marriages, and then it was removed. And then the law was passed, they could get married. And then the state said yes. And then, you know, it was just
a
really unusual time, right? And it just so happened I met someone. This girl, her name was Coco, which was a nickname for what? I don't know.
Coco, great name.
Yeah. She was indigenous. Some people may say Native American. And she had these amazing, really beautiful, like flowing outfits. You know, it's like almost like a painting, you know, this garb and these beautiful decorations. You know, just everything about her was really fascinating. And
Coco, dark hair, just kind
dark
of
dark hair, dark skin.
Yeah, yeah. Paint the picture.
Yeah, and very slender. You know, very slender.
Okay.
So again, we went out for a coffee. We happened to meet somewhere where it's near a coffee shop, and then we went for a coffee. And then another time, we went out for a drink. And then there was a group gathering. I invited her and we're all there just having a good time. And we're just really getting along, really connecting. And I thought, oh, wow, this could be my first, you know, real relationship after my recovery. I mean, everything about her is just fantastic. You know, we hadn't reached any real intimacy, you know, just holding hands and caressing.
Yeah. When it's nice, when it's innocent, when just holding hands is like that electricity that goes between your hands. There's something special about that.
Yeah. And so we're at this party. And then she goes to the restroom. My friend comes over and says, who's that? And I said, oh, that's Coco. We've been seeing each other for a couple of weeks. And I got to tell you, wow, man, there is a connection. And he says, oh, yeah, I know Coco. Coco's my sister's friend. I said, really? Yeah. Coco's a dude.
Oh, no way.
What do you mean? I said, no. What do you mean? He says, yeah. Coco's a guy. I mean, and I said, no, we haven't been intimate in any way. And she had these flowing clothes. So I never could actually, she wasn't, you know, cleavage type person. And he says,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a dude. I know Coco. And then she comes back and Coco says, hey, and knows my friend.
Yeah.
And it was at that point, you know, the evening was wrapping up. Her friends actually came by and she left with them because they were going to go do something. And I left with another group because we're going to go see a late night show.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of
where do you go from there?
Where right. do you go from there?
It's what like, do you say? I don't even know what's allowed to say. I'm a straight white guy in 2020. So I've just learned to be very, you know, just say if I don't know certain things, raise my hand, ask a question.
Yeah.
The correct pronouns. Make sure, like, however they'd like to be, you know, called in whatever pronoun you use. But yeah, like, what'd you do? Where'd you go forward?
I didn't know what to do. I just wanted to be sensitive to the situation because it could be, if a person is highly sensitive to their situation and hasn't informed that to you.
Oh yeah.
Then my response could adversely affect how they continue their relationship. So
right.
we continued to chat and then we were going to meet Friday and we got together and obviously I was kind of perplexed. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And she was behaving strangely. And I thought, okay, is it me? Am I projecting that because I'm off and I receive this information and how do I approach it and what do I say? And how do I respond if you have feelings for someone, you know, maybe it's me, maybe I don't know. So Coco says, there's something I need to tell you. And I thought, oh,
here we go.
Here it is. And I just told myself, okay, I'm just going to open my mind, my heart, and just listen and go with whatever happens and try to come out the opposite side, the most positive, the best way I can.
Sure.
Coco says, it's taken me a while. And this has nothing to do with you. And for a moment, I thought, it's not you, it's me, but I don't know. It's taken me a while, she says, to understand who I am and where I am with my identity and my sexuality. And I want you to know it has nothing to do with you, but I realize I'm a lesbian.
Whoa.
My friend was screwing with me.
I don't know where this was going to go. Because I never hear the stories ahead of time because I want it to be as like real as possible in reaction. So she's a lesbian and the friend was screwing with you saying that she was a guy, which she's really not. And you kind of bought it and went ahead with it. This sounds like a who's on first Seinfeld situation where you're thinking, oh, they're going to say this. And you're like, I get it. And because you're like, it's not that I'm nothing against you personally. I'm just, you know, however you best navigate what you're about to say.
Yes.
As everything's, you know, recorded now and put back in your face on full display, or someone can go into your Twitter from 10 years ago and talk about how terrible of a person you were. But, that's interesting.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Not so what I expected.
Did you start laughing? What'd you say? Did you say, by the way, this guy said that, you know, you are a guy, so I didn't know if you were transitioning. I didn't know how to say it. I mean, the flowing clothes. Oh my God.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even mention that because I realized I've been duped by my friend, who was hilarious. He still laughs at me today. He still sends me texts saying, hey, I have a brother my friend's brother is in town. You want to go out with him for a drink or something?
You know, oh my God.
It's so funny. And I laugh because I just,
this is amazing.
I just believed him, but no, I didn't say anything to her because I knew that in itself was a challenge for her, a difficult moment.
Sure.
So I just said, oh, I totally understand. And if that's who you are, then you have to celebrate it and be that. And 100% behind you, and let's still hang out. Let's have our
drink.
Let's still chat. And then she told me her story about growing up and all of this, and how in her community it's not really accepted and this and that. And so it was a really sure. nice and positive evening.
Well, see, you're a positive, well-adjusted person. I have a feeling I would have gone a bit more the Ben Affleck chasing Amy route, where I just would have heard I'm only into women, and I would have gone, oh, got it. But I might be the first guy, because I'm pretty special. My mom told me every day I'm a special little soldier. I might just be able to crack this code, but that's great. What you really, we did there, it was funny. I didn't know, could you see I didn't know what to say. I didn't literally, you stopped me in my tracks. I literally did not know the next thing to say, the best way to go about it. I'm like, sure.
That was me in person. Your response was what I was thinking inside. But then imagine the first person or the first person you ever share that with. Maybe yeah. my response could have an indelible effect, a ripple.
Yeah,
effect.
That's a big matzo ball. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to be responsible for how you're going to deal with stuff down the line. I don't want to be like, man, I'm just picturing enough right now just if I have kids someday, like how I'm going to, you know, tell them things and let them journey out into the world. But to be responsible for like an adult as a reaction, how they see things and then how they extrapolate that 10 years down the line. I'm putting my bags down, Paul. Wow. Well, great stories. Thank you That's for sharing
Coco.
With us.
That's Coco.
That's Coco. She Coco'd ya. I see. This is what my friends would have done. It's like, hey, did you go out? Yeah. She like you? Nah. She's like, she likes girls. Ah, she's a Coco. Yep. She's a Coco.
She's a Coco.
Well, hey, sometimes you Coco, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you Coco, sometimes you don't. Sometimes Kelly, sometimes you Coco.
Sometimes it's so boys. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to head over to the next segment here. I'm looking at, we're going to play some red flags. Now, this is red flags quarantine style, which means I'm going to read to you three different red flags about somebody dating, and then you're going to tell me back the one red flag you could not deal with in quarantine. Ooh. And by the way, these are new things I'm learning, like just like with my fiance. We got engaged in November, and this whole quarantine, I think, has been the best test of like, and you live with your girlfriend, right? So you're seeing like when you really have no, when you have no place else to go except your own living situation, you learn a lot really fast about just, you know, how you deal with things, how they deal with things, how, you know, sometimes it is very possible to talk and just cross the lines at the same time. You're one person's thinking about one thing, another, but I will say I know I drive my fiance crazy sometimes because, you know, I'm a bit of a conundrum of sorts, but she's the sweetest and most wonderful person ever. So
she's a sweetheart, and
she is, right? She's a sweetheart, man.
Yeah.
She's a great girl. Wonderful.
Good call.
Thanks, man. That's the best call I ever made in my life. Never look back. Woo! That was it. After that, I'm done. Rest of my life could be a screw up. It could just be a total, I bungled that, but he married right. Okay, so I have this. Writes erotic Lassie fan fiction.
Okay.
Interesting. Is allergic to all of your favorite foods. Now, for the record, my Amy does not eat, she doesn't like peanut butter, and she doesn't eat pork, so she doesn't eat bacon. So if I ever have peanut butter or bacon on something, I'll order bacon, and she won't eat it. So it's not necessarily bad thing, setting my little thing.
So no peanut butter bacon sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly. No peanut butter bacon sandwich. You got it. And then finally, afraid of sunlight, which I think we're all, you know, distinctly pale right now.
Yeah.
So I have, is allergic to all your favorite foods, writes erotic Lassie fan fiction, or is afraid of sunlight. If you had to pick one of those three, which one would you not want to deal with right now in quarantine?
Well, I think we don't have to worry about the sun because we're already in quarantine. We can remove that one, maybe.
I should have just removed that. I picked randomly, but I don't want to like manufacture it. So I just picked three I hadn't seen before.
So I'm going to remove that one because, you know, there is a limited amount of sunlight already.
Doesn't even matter.
Now, the allergies is something that's out of her control.
Right.
So
that's not fair, you're saying.
Well, yeah, because the erotic Lassie fiction maybe a sign of other issues, which, you know,
true.
If maybe you guys are having sex and she wants you to bark.
Right. Or she wants to pretend like she's a little girl trapped in a well and you have to like go and run help and like bark. bunch of times.
So that might be a sign of bigger issues. But if she's allergic to the food that you like, then on a positive note, you never have to share.
No, but then it's like, that's a double-edged sword because she goes, oh, you ordered that. Great, because you know I can't have any. I feel like there is something sweet, even if guys don't want to share, that we get something that we know that our counterpart will like. Because yeah. Then at least they go, oh, well, that's sweet. You got some for us. Amy thinks I'm a dick. She calls me out on it. Like, so if we're ordering pizza and she'll be like, oh, like, would you get like a slice? I'm like, yeah, I got this and bacon. She's like, oh, so I can't eat it. I'm like, well, I didn't know you'd be. And she's like, yeah, great. I'll just get a plain cheese. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for thinking of me. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Shoot.
Well, you can always order maybe, let's say, a main course and an appetizer.
That's
and
true.
One of those two, the person can eat some of it.
You know what? It's funny. I got this story the other day because we were FaceTiming with my parents. I will say one of the things positive to come out of this is I FaceTime much more now with my parents. I can talk to them each week. And I was reminded we went to Huntington Beach for like our second date. We had gone out the weekend before and we were in Huntington Beach and we're at this seafood place. Mm-hmm. And I get the lobster bisque and I get this soup and I taste it and it's barely lukewarm. Barely. So I call over the waiter. I'm like, hi, I'm so sorry. Can you really just nuke this bad boy up? Or I just want you to blast it with fire. Like, just really, I want it hot. She was like, yeah, of course, right away. Brings it right back. The plate feels a little warm and it's still lukewarm. So I call him back over. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I promise I'm going to tip. I work in food and beverage. I get it. I want this piping. I want you to feel afraid, like I'm going to sue you. That's how hot it is. And she told me because I used the adjective piping and I sent it back like two or three times, she was like, if that had been our first date, I would have not gone out with you again because you were so adamant about the soup. And I was like, but I was polite. I said, please and thank you. I said, I'm going to tip. She's like, no. She's like, you're a great tipper. She's like, but because you said piping, I just didn't think I could do it. And I was like, all right. So anyway,
we're gonna
move on real quick. There, you've heard of F, Mary, Kill. We do a little differentiation here. We do date, dump, divorce. So Paul, real quick, give me your date, dump, divorce. Theme is classic women of comedy: Joan Rivers, Lucille Ball, Lily Tomlin. Date, dump, divorce. Which?
Okay,
I'll give you 10 seconds.
I'll date Lucille Ball.
Oh, you already know.
I'll divorce or I'll dump Joan Rivers.
Joan.
Because she's no longer with us. So easy to dump someone who's no longer with us. And who's the third? who's the
Lily Tomlin.
Okay. I'll divorce her because I'm already with someone. I'm already dating someone. So I think it's best.
You have to divorce. Right. And maybe you can have like one of those arguments, you know, that she had like in it's like on YouTube, right? Like a Lily Tomlin. What was it? I Heart Huckabees with that?
Exactly.
Is it? Yeah. Just have one of those crazy, screw you, screw you. Just end of the relationship.
So definitely date Lucille Ball, even though it's a different time period from what I'm seeing on the behind the scenes.
Dating her would be fun.
She'd be a nice, sweet.
Redhead? Please. That's come on.
There you go. I always look like I'm tan if I'm with her.
And real quick here. Let's imagine there's like a magic door that you can walk through, okay?
Uh-huh.
And if you walk through this door, you come face to face with your 18-year-old self, mm-hmm. and you have 90 seconds. What would you tell yourself at 18?
Learn more about interpersonal communication and finances. Interpersonal communication is the key to everything, whether you're dealing with difficult people, motivating people, and recognizing people's strengths and weaknesses, because everything mm-hmm. comes down to your interpersonal communication and finances, because things are so much easier with money and I don't need the whole 90 seconds.
And that's it. By the way, invest in Google.
Invest in Google, Yahoo, maybe a thing called Amazon, and not the forest.
Right. Amazon now. Can you believe it? We're surviving on Amazon. Can you imagine if this had happened in the 90s before Netflix, before Amazon, before just you'd be so much more. It's like when you saw quarantine, you'd have a flip phone if you had a flip phone at the time and you'd have Yahoo Messenger talking to people. What else would there be?
Yeah, at that time, my Amazon was calling my friend and saying, please bring me $50 of groceries from Trader Joe's. And 2 days later, I opened my eyes and the food is there. And I never even remember seeing the person. I don't know what day it was, when they came, but I just have $50 worth of food in the fridge.
And you were no longer wearing your clothes.
That's, periodically. Yes.
Well, and Paul, real quick, why don't you give us the handles, stuff where we can reach and see you at, because you have fantastic things. I want to remind everybody again, Channel Surfing Studios, Comedy Crushes Cancer. Where can we find you and look you up? Because you're doing great things.
Thank you. The best way is Channel Surfing Studios, the website, which is channelsurfingstudios.com, because anytime you click on the videos, it takes you to YouTube anyway.
Okay.
So Channel Surfing Studios. And if people forget, you type in my name and the first thing that comes up when you type in Paul Loudon is Channel Surfing Studios.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So Paul Loudon, Channel Surfing Studios. I want to thank you for being a guest today, for talking about some bad dates, for keeping a positive outlook on things. I think you're absolutely fantastic. My best to you and Carolina as we keep moving forward here and find our way back to some semblance of normal or what our new normal will be. Before we leave, I just would like to leave with a little quote today as we do. Also, again, happy May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. Also, guys, don't forget Sunday is Mother's Day. So it's Monday. Why don't you get ahead of that? Put a card in the mail. Go on, you know, 1-800-Flowers. Do something sweet for mom, because I guarantee you, if you can't be with her and give her a hug personally, she's going to be missing you all the more this year. Here's the quote I want to leave everybody with. Dating is like going to the grocery store each week and only finding the generic rough toilet paper to buy. Dating in LA, same thing, but the rough TP is actually sandpaper. My name is Adam Carr. Once again, I'd like to thank Mr. Paul Loudon for joining us, for Brianna for being a wonderful producer here with AfterBuzz Studios, still going very strong into this quarantine and pandemic. My name is Adam Carr. I'd like to remind you all, stay horrible, stay single. Hey, we don't judge.
Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.